Amen. Lord, we just thank you for another fine evening with you and my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us, talking to us as we go. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, let this be a good dialogue between everybody about you and the Lord Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Well, Lord, I just thank you for the prayer that we prayed yesterday at the book club, book study, that you have already answered our prayers and we praise you for it, Father. I don't want to mention anything, but Lord, I just thank you that it has been answered and people are set free already in Jesus' name. All right, Missy.
I just if anybody read in the chat, signal chat, I put up a prayer request for long story short, there was a shooting not far from where my boys grew up and where my son Matt and daughter-in-law Megan Granby Ryder live. Anyway, there was a shooting and three police officers were killed. It was a domestic thing, and three police officers were killed and two are in critical condition. And they just finally released the names of the three that were killed, and they didn't even release the name of the shooter, but he was actually killed too. They're not releasing a whole lot of information yet. But there's some news outlets that found out who the guy is, and the crazy thing is long story short, I figured out that he grew up not far from where we first lived when we lived in Hanover. I mean, just across the way in another neighborhood, and he's 24 years old. And he probably went to the same high school my boys did, except he was a good bit younger. But oh, Lord have mercy. It's so sad and heartbreaking. Lord, they didn't, I don't know if they have kids and are married. I'm guessing they do, the ones that were killed. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would use this. And I know you will, Lord, to bring salvation to your elect, Lord, and we just ask you to comfort the hearts of the families and the other police officers, Lord, and pray that there's nothing nefarious going on that they're trying to cover up, because you know how all those crazy things go. But it doesn't seem like that's the case from everything that I'm hearing. So, Lord, I just, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you will be glorified and be lifted up in this, Lord. Lord, I was so happy to hear when I watched the live police report on this afternoon. That many were talking about praying and even quoting partial scripture and stuff like that of the like the district attorney and the state attorney general, I believe, or whatever. It sounds like they're good Christian men or whatever, and I just praise you for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, and believe, Lord, that you were going to use this to bring many to you, Lord, because you know nobody knows the number of their days on this earth, Lord. And it's just sobering to people, Lord, to know that. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing salvation in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I said, all right, Anna.
Hey guys, I just wanted to pray about this thing. I was reading this book about neuroplasticity, and for it's a book for moms about raising your kids, and it's got all this different interesting stuff. And of course, some of it, we know better things about faith, but there's this little part in here that I want to read and then pray about. And it says, a recent study of more than 2,600 toddlers showed that for every hour of TV the toddlers watched each day, their chances of developing serious attention difficulties by age 7 increased by 10%. And I was like, wow. And it's so crazy. Obviously, as disciples, and we have faith and we have better, we know better things. If we do things in ignorance or whatever. But I thought this is crazy that there are studies out there and they're not making them the top of the list. They're not making them so everybody knows. They're suppressing them probably. Like everybody should know this, that there's studies done and yet no, nobody knows about it. So Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help anyone who's trying to have a voice to get these kind of information out there, Lord. And TV is just one of the many, many things that are damaging our children, Lord. The kids are just crazy these days, seems like. Sure. And there's so many factors. And I just pray protection over. You a crazy kid? Sorry. Hey. And I just pray, Lord, protection over everyone who is doing, sorry, she wants grapes. Who is doing the work of getting the truth out there. And Lord, I pray that people would search for themselves, that parents would search for themselves, and they'd rise up and they would seek out what is beneficial to their children, that they turn off the TV, that they would be present parents. And Lord, that you just do a revival in the hearts of the home. That you turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, as your word says, that you would just completely turn around all the damage that has been done through the vaccines, through the television, through inappropriate content, through public schools, through just the many, many, many things, the processed foods and all the poisons that are getting to the children's bodies. And I just thank you, Lord, for just turning this around. And that there'd be a revival of deliverance as well, that it wouldn't just be learning what's bad for the kids, but that the children who have been damaged would be delivered in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. That is a fascinating subject, neuroplasticity. It's all about changing your mind, renewing your mind. It's a good subject. She showed it to me the other night, and I was surprised. I thought I was the only one that knew anything about it. I was always scared to bring it up. Nobody knew what it was. Go ahead, Pat.
I just wanted to pray for this next week. We are going to the Outer Banks. We have a group, a church, a group of church people though we don't go to the church. We've been friends with them for a long time, and so we have a yearly outing at the in the Outer Banks. And Every morning we have a Bible study and prayer time or teaching or whatnot. So, I just want to pray and ask the Lord to open up hearts this year and bring your Holy Spirit to bear upon each individual there. And show me how to pray, and Lord, just lead me to situations that I may speak your word into, and to speak faith and to reveal your life, your ways, your truth. And I thank you, Lord, for going before me. And going before us and making the way of release and deliverance wherever necessary, and healing wherever necessary, Lord, and that you would bring about a seeking spirit in people to know more of the reality of your truth, your word, and your presence. So thank you, Lord, for making the way for the gospel to be preached, taught, understood, applied. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, use him in a mighty way. Thank you, Father, that many people will come to know the truth about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Not that old stale religion that a lot of them are in. Okay. I hope I didn't sound like I was prideful when I said talking about neuroplasticity. I didn't mean to. I just, that's an unusual word. And, but I actually know what it means. It ain't because I found the word on how to renew the mind. And it's very interesting. Okay, Anna, go ahead.
I just wanted to say hi to Karen. Hi, Karen. I didn't see you because I'm on my phone and it just cuts out. I can see the middle of the screen. I get to see your shoulder. And yeah, then I swiped over and I could see the whole frame. So I wasn't ignoring you. I just wanted to say hi. I'm Anna and this is LaKayla. And most of the rest of them are in bed. So say hi, Kayla. It's good to, nice to meet you, though. Good to see you.
Hey,
Hey.
Kayla. Hey, Kayla. Come on, get that hand flowing, girl. Yeah, there you go. There it is. Oh, my, she is such a blessing. Amen, she does. All of her babies are cute. She's got a big voice, too, I'm telling you. Woo. She wants some attention. Yeah, she can get it. Bless her heart. All right, anybody else? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
I was talking to my mom today, and she told me that she has a kidney stone and that she thinks that they're gonna like, I don't know, somehow bust it up or something or whatever, so she can pass or whatever. And oh, I was doing my best to speak faith to her, to encourage her, you know, believe the Lord, and she let me pray for her, but she says, we've been praying, and I was praying if it be the Lord, you know, the the Lord's will, and she always says that Lord's will, not mine. And I just spoke faith, and I just thank you, Lord, for giving my mom a revelation of faith that is already done, Lord. I just bind up all the lies that she's been told that she's re received. I bind up all the curses and command them off of her and my dad for that matter. And I thank you, Lord, that my mom and dad are both delivered from pharmakia and doctrines of demons. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that for the shepherds that you're have for them, the man-child ministry that are according to your heart, that will feed them with knowledge and understanding, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord. And I just ask you to put your hand over my mom's mouth every time she speaks contrary to what we prayed. I tried to encourage her. I told her, there's things I'm believing for, I'm believing, I just keep confessing that it's already done and so on and so forth. And it's something so strange to her. But Lord, I thank you for giving her a revelation of that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I just make every curse spoken out of her mouth null and void in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know she does it in ignorance and all, but Lord, I thank you, Lord. She has a little mustard seed of faith, and I thank you, Lord, for granting to her healing, Lord, that this kidney stone is dispersed, it's completely gone. She doesn't have to pass anything from it. You're not going to just break it up. I believe it's gone in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. Remind her, Lord, to just
Thank you,
speak the
Jesus.
blessings upon herself and upon Dad, Lord. And I praise you and thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we pray that for all of our family members, that they get this faith and hold on to it because they're going to need it in the days ahead. Thank you, Father. We'll be able to show them. Amen. All right, anyone else? Y'all ready to hear a good song? I'm gonna sing tonight. No, I'm not either. No way. Okay, I'm gonna share it. And here we go. What is that thing?
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. And come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every. this world is at home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no war, and there'll be no chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day you come for the and the strong just the same, and all will believe in the power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been
oh, y'all can't hear me. All right. To me, he's got a good voice. I like his voice. He got a bluesy voice. I can play some blues gospel if you like. Now, I ain't scared. All right. Does anybody have anything that they need to talk about? or pray about or sing about. Okay, Pat.
I think last Tuesday or Tuesday I brought up, I think an example or something I had seen online on Telegram or something somewhere, and it was a girl that was a probably no doubt very liberal girl. But shaken up through this Charlie Kirk assassination and the response that she was seeing from the radical right, left, the faction, I would say. And it had really struck her. And then somebody posted a video on Signal to tonight or today sometime. And I looked at it, didn't get a chance to listen to it. I'll listen to it later. But same situation where God's spirit is, I believe, is touching people's lives where they are at. And shattering the darkness and sending the light in, and people are receiving it. People are, and I think it to me it's very exciting.
Hey, Pat,
It's the yes.
could you explain what affected her about that? The Kirk, are you talking about the response from the radical left or
Yes.
the okay? Maybe you ought to clarify that.
The hatred and vitriol that has been expressed by people celebrating Kirk's killing him, his assassination. And I think that there is more to this this story as usual, which hasn't come out yet. I'm not sure if it will. But yes, it was it it was it's the hatred that's being expressed. There's obviously the majority of these people are simply parroting what they have watched on TV or social media, or and they have been told certain things, about Charlie Kirk, what he believed, what he spoke, and many things have been taken out of context, and how the radicals do. They separate words and try to create scenarios to fit their thinking and their theology. But the response of people that are glad and happy and celebrating him being shot, they don't understand that the very essence or the very spirit that allows one to feel happy at the death, at someone being murdered before their eyes, being happy about that is, and they don't understand that that's a spirit of hatred for others, and that it's the very same hatred that pulled that trigger. And it just became, and so I don't want to get off into that, but the point is that absolute response of laughing and joy that somebody died is affecting people. They're and the people are starting to, observe that and see it as very wrong. And regardless of their particular belief system, the people that I've seen so far are not religious. They are not connected to the church, and quite frankly, their lifestyle is very contrary to the church. But those are the very people that Jesus came to save. He, like he said, he didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save those that are willing to repent, those that need him, those that see the wrongness of the evil that is in the world today. And I know that there are going to be more and more people that are being separated from this darkness by God shedding the light of truth into their heart, and they are going to be turning. And I know that they need to have a real a demonstration a place to turn to. They need to know that there is a true God that saves, that is able to deliver. And so I just feel the flood is coming in. Jesus said, look upon the fields now, because they are white to harvest even now, even because repentance and faith doesn't it isn't seasonal. Reaping, coming into the light and seeing I mean, it's something to be able to see darkness. And what it means is that God has separated you in some way from that darkness, and you're able to see it. I remember when this was. I have no doubt that the Lord was working in my heart, though I didn't know it. This is before I became a Christian, gave my life to the Lord. But I was into the Eastern mysticism, transcendental meditation, and came through that path, so to speak. And this was back in the 70s, and there was a excuse me, there was a in that movement, there was a time when they were promoting what they called superhuman abilities. It was the ability to hear supernaturally, or with an enhanced hearing and enhanced seeing. And they believed in levitation and various different things. Superhuman qualities is what they called it. And I remember going And so it tweaked my interest, and I decided to go to one of their weekend retreats, where they have, you go through a systematic process of, meditation, 30 minutes a day, and get up and, eat yogurt and nuts in the morning for breakfast, and, whatever. They have their whole thing. But at night, they had these presentations where they were trying to, I guess, sell the program is what it was. And when I was sitting in the midst of this presentation, I remember, and again, I wasn't a Christian. I had no, I was totally looking in some other direction. And we watched a movie or a video at that time, a film of the Maharishi giving a presentation of, what a transcendental meditation, or what their philosophy was. And I noticed in the presentation, they were con he was constantly comparing what they believed or what they understood to Christianity. In other words, he would say, "Well, we believe that, that you can enter into a state of, whatever, nirvana or whatever. But the Christians believe that you enter that through suffering." And then he'd give another example, and they said, "But the Christians believe this." An interesting thing, and as I was sitting there watching, I thought, why is he comparing what they're doing, what they do, to Christianity? Now, that wasn't a major thing. I wasn't on my knees, praying to God that night or anything. But what that did was it sent a ray of truth into my mind and allowed me to ponder that. Why would he be doing that? And the last one of the examples, I think I've shared this before, but one of the examples, this retreat was in kind of a camp setting where you had big facilities, a group. It was a large area for showers and whatnot. And I remember I was taking a shower, and I was in the shower. And of course, this is a very rustic type of environment, and wood walls, and hose sticking out of the ceiling, or whatever it was. It wasn't, as a matter of fact, I don't even think there were ceilings in this place. And I was taking a shower, and I was shaving in the shower, and I didn't have a, they didn't have a mirror there, which I never used one anyway, but I was shaving in the shower. And across the room, there was another guy, one of these guys that was training and teaching and talking about superhuman powers that we could receive through this meditation program. And he made a comment, and he said, "Are you shaving?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Man, I would cut my face to pieces if I didn't have a mirror." And immediately I thought, this guy is exercising and has superhuman traits, and he can't even shave without a mirror in the shower. And I thought, okay, well, that was another one of those things that it just put a nugget of truth in the midst of darkness. Of course, the capper was the very last night. They were, I guess, the sales guy was up there at the end. He was going to bring this thing home and seal the deal, so to speak. And he was talking about these various different this program and what they gave you and what you did and all that. And I remember raising my hand and asking, well, how much does this cost? And he danced around that question and then went around and explained more positive things about what it was. And of course, in those days, I wasn't as maybe patient and timid as, or whatever, quiet, I guess, as I w and now I was kind of more of a criticizing. Well, I won't get into that. So I raised my hand again. I said, yes, but how much does it cost? And we danced a little bit more around that subject. And after the third time, I said, yes, but how much does it cost? And he made it a point not to answer that. And when I saw that, that was like the capper that said, this guy's a deceiver. This guy's a car salesman. No, I shouldn't say that on the air, so to speak. He's a salesman. And from that time on, I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't repent or anything like that. I just quit this transcendental meditation thing. I quit it. I could see that it was a deception. I could see that there was that something that was not right, and I just quit. And I never meditated, so to speak, after that point. And of course, later on, after I become a Christian, I had to repent and cast out, any kind of demonic influence, etc., on that thing. But the point being, I didn't do anything. All I did was follow the light God, I believe, was pouring into me. And it was maybe a few weeks later, or maybe a month later, my girlfriend and I were walking down the street in the small town that I was from. And there was a movie, and there was a movie then on. It was called The Late Great Planet Earth. It was an actual movie. And it was a best-selling book in the 70s or something like that. But this was a movie of that very thing, and it was, I think, Hal Lindsey or something, and he was narrating this whole movie. And it was a movie about the prophetic, the Old Testament prophets and how they were speaking forth. And how their word came true, and the comparison of the prophetic word to what was happening now, etc. And it was within a week or so after that that my girlfriend bought me a Bible, and I started reading the Bible. Now, I never repented, or at that time, I never changed anything. All I did was light came in, and I responded to the light and turned away from the darkness. And I think that we are going to see in this day and age, because of the radical degree of the dark element that is being revealed in our world, there's going to be people. I think people are going to see, they're going to start seeing the light. They're seeing the darkness. They're going to start recognizing the darkness because it is so prevalent and so in your face. And it defies common sense. Some of this stuff is just way out there, and people are going to start responding to light and turning from darkness. And of course, We have to be prepared to be able to provide the source of light that's going to bring them into the truth and a true relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because when it's all said and done, you can't depend upon any other person other than the Lord Jesus and what, how he is leading you through the Holy Spirit in your own life. So anyway, it's just to me is becoming, I'm starting to see these things pop up, and again, you're seeing people that you wouldn't even think would be turning to the light, but there is an, I think there's an example, and there's going to be a lot of people doing just that in this time that we're in. So
Let me ask you a
anyway,
question.
praise the Lord.
Let me ask you a question. What attracted you to the New Age garbage?
When I was in college, I started reading about yoga, and it was the ability, well, let me, the perception that it was not a religion. Now, obviously, it was more of a spiritual awareness desire or something along that lines. I remember when I actually sought out and started in the transcendental meditation thing, as I told the person that I was, the instructor or whatever, I told her, listen, I'm not interested in any kind of religion. All I want is a relaxation process. And of course, she glassy-eyed looked at me and said, oh no, this is not a religion. I said, no, it's not a religion, it's a spirit. But anyway, so I think that was the idea. There was already a, shall we say, a repulsion, which for the most part I believe I inherited from my father or, my parents, a reaction against religion, but against Christianity. I evidently my dad had some, well, he had the same critical attitude that I did, so he was probably very, he wasn't very verbal or forceful, but he made comments at times that basically said he wasn't buying into that routine, and I went along the same path. It was very interesting that when I did find the Lord in the late 70s, the interesting thing that I found is when the scripture opened my eyes up to see that Jesus felt exactly the same way I did. Let me explain that. Because of the fact that he spoke to the religious leaders of those days as the blind leading the blind, and various, and it was those religious leaders and the religious system of his day that coerced the Roman government to nail Jesus on a cross. And I realized, at that time, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't buying into this religious system either. The religious system had been perverted. And I remember when that awareness came to me, and I went to my dad and I said, Dad, You don't understand. Jesus, closer to what you think than you think he does. You're not very far away from thinking exactly what Jesus thought. Now, obviously, that was my perspective at the time, but that is the thing. I think I was trying to avoid the Christianity and all of the negative publicity and everything that the devil always makes sure gets put out there on the airways. You never hear the truth. You always have to wade through the deception to find the truth, it's really
Yeah,
there.
well, the reason I ask is, so you had no upbringing in the church at all.
I
Okay,
did not.
that's because I was brought up in the church, apostate as it was, but we were actually warned against those type of religions right off the get-go, and so I never got into it. I never even interested in it, and most kids that, well, I say most kids that were listening were kind of shunned away from that New Age stuff. They knew it was witchcraft.
Yeah, I wasn't. I had none of that, and and I think that's why the Lord. I mean, I didn't have any religious background whatsoever that I know of. I know my mom bought some, it was like some books basically. Telling about the Bible and stories in the Bible, and I had read through them, didn't read through them. I flipped through them and looked at the pictures basically. But so I'm sure that there was some sort of an influence there, in some form or another. But you don't know what the Lord is going to use. But I had no awareness of the religious, of church, of Christianity whatsoever. It was like the only thing I had was what I read out of the scripture, out of the Bible. That was an eye-opening experience just to comb through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And man, for 4 months, I just read those things from front to back, every night. And it just did something in there. And that's, I believe, why after I gave my life to the Lord, and I didn't even know that I gave my life to the Lord. I mean, I n knew nothing about anything. God just, in the process of a year or so, led me into a Baptist church, and that's where I got grounded. Obviously, there's things in the religious system that are wrong, but you know what? God uses the system for you at the time you need it. And what you need there. What I needed was a structure that God could teach me submission to truth, submission, and holding on to a word. What is it in Psalm 15? I guess I should. Psalm 15. Let me just pull that open since I. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He that slanders not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, one of my personal favorites at the time, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear the Lord. And here was one. that this got me. He that swears but to his own hurt and changeth not. He that gives, that gives his word, and even if that word of truth hurts me, I'm not going to change. That's the truth. I'm sticking with it, type of thing. Well, I didn't know anything about that type of process. And it was my time in the Baptist church in that time that gave me a structure that I had to learn submission, adherence to a word, and some very foundational things that humble myself under the mighty hand of God, because he's the one that pours grace into your heart and able to deliver you and bring you through anything. Cry out for the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and God is willing to pour it into your heart. Well, as I talked about it, just it kind of it's exciting and so incredible, and shows us the absolute necessity for us to establish that relationship with the Lord, receive His Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, and to be able to walk in communication with Him. And it doesn't matter where you're at or what circumstance you're in. It doesn't matter who your teachers are. And this was the thing that he really showed me. It doesn't matter who, what teacher, who you are sitting under and learning from. If you're learning from the Holy Spirit and from the Word, God will use a teacher, whether he is right or whether he is wrong. I say he could be a woman. It doesn't matter, as long as you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can reveal to you, oh, he's not aware of the truth in this area, or this is true here. If you're listening to the teacher here, you can be under any circumstance and still be led by the truth, because you're listening to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to ramble, Michael.
Okay, that's no
You just
problem.
kind of unplugged.
Yeah. No, I have something I'd like to share here, and it's a word from the Lord. And it's called, I may have done this at some point in time, but it bears repeating. It's called None Diminished. Now, do you perceive my wisdom in providing you with the image of Him, talking about Jesus, who is to fill your hope? Allow no image provided by religion. Permit no image diminished by the reasonings of man. Receive the image I have provided, for it is into that likeness that my spirit shall conform you. None diminished is the word I am imparting to your spirit this day, says the Lord. None diminished is my plan. None diminished is my will. None diminished from the image I provided. That is the plan of the Father. As you behold the glory of Him whom I have sent, as you behold that image I have provided to fill your hope, you are changed into that same image, that same hope, that same likeness by the seed of Him who was planted within you. None diminished. I say again, none diminished. This is my plan. This is my purpose. Receive not the counsel, nor the religion, nor the vain speaking of men who would oppose my will. I counsel you this day to incorporate hope with all your speaking. Truly, I have spoken unto you. These things only come by the saying. But where there is no vision, my people shall surely perish. The saying apart from the vision is as futile as the vision apart from the saying. Both are required, says the Lord. I counsel you to step higher than religion. I counsel you to step higher than the ways of man. I counsel you to step above the darkened reasonings of those who speak as leaders of my people. I counsel you to receive the simple truth that I have sent in Jesus Christ. He is the image provided for all men to be conformed to. I intend for them to be conformed to that image, none diminished, none diminished, none diminished, says the Spirit of your Father. His life, the life of Christ in fullness, is the land of promise, which I have given unto my children. At every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, to appropriate that life in its fullness as your own, I will surely give it unto you. His life in its fullness is your inheritance. Receive the abundance of this grace. Receive it as your own. Possess it as your land to be inherited. Receive the abundance of this grace which I have provided for my children. Receive the abundance of his righteousness, for it is truly yours. All that I have given him, the Holy Spirit shall show unto you as being your inheritance to possess. He will lead you step by step. He will go before you and drive your enemies out from before your face, and you shall inherit the very life of Christ in fullness, says the Lord. This is my plan. And for this purpose, I provided the image that you are to be changed into. And for this purpose, I sent him, who is the express image of myself, that you may see the land before you and possess it as your own. For it is yours as a gift. It is yours by inheritance. It is yours to possess by my Spirit, says the Lord. By my Spirit, it shall be yours. For I have already given you this land. The work has already been accomplished in him. And the only thing remaining is for you to possess it by faith. But as I am teaching you in this day, first you must fill your hope with the image of him whom I have provided. Fill your hope with that image. Think it not impossible. Think no longer these things are impossible. Think no longer this is not my plan, for it is my plan. It is my plan to repopulate the earth with sons who walk as him, talk as him, act as him, who have the same results he had. This is my will, says the Spirit of your Father. You will learn, as did those of old, that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. It's by my Spirit that the transformation is accomplished. For man's efforts are vain and futile to bring forth the life of Christ. The instructions I give are easy for man to do. First, son, fill your hope with the image of him whom I have provided. Your hope must become possessive hope, hope that possesses as its own life the life its own the life of Christ in its fullness. See that life in fullness in you? You see it, son? This is my plan. It is my gift unto you. It is my gift to my children. His life imparted free by grace to you. And I say again, have possessive hope. Hope that sees his life as your own, for without him you can do nothing. His life has been given freely by my grace. I have imparted that same life into you. See it as your own. Every attribute of his, see it as your own. See yourself as beholding him in a mirror of your own life. How many of you heard that? And as you behold him as in a mirror, the mystery of Christ in you is brought forward by the power of my Spirit and not your labor. Your labor is to see him, to behold him, to possess him in your hope, to hold that image and not be swayed by religion nor the doctrines of men who claim these things are not my mind. See him, behold him, possess him, know him, love him, receive him. He is your life. His life is your inheritance in all of its fullness, says the Spirit of your Father. Then partake by saying, be as Abraham of old, who spoke what I said concerning himself and would not speak contrary to it. And as you speak forth the words of faith, as he is, so am I in this world, coupling your words with godly hope, which possesses the image, the transformation and the change into that image is wrought by my Spirit and not by the work of man. Enough, 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 says the Lord. Enough of religion. Enough. It has been enough. It is past time to cast off the doctrines of men who would speak in the place of God. This very day, my Spirit is circumcising from your heart the doctrine of men whose counsel has been darkened to say that the life of my Son is an image to be worshipped afar off and not to be appropriated by every believer who calls upon his name. They do not find such counsel in my word. They have chosen according to man's ways and man's reasonings. They have chosen the path of religion, which I cannot anoint with life. They have chosen that path which will never lead to dominion. They have chosen the path of religion instead of life. Hear them no more. Hearken to them no more, for their words are not the mind of the Father. As I have spoken unto you, wisdom is the image of Christ woven upon the tapestry of your spirit. And the speaking of my word weaves that image upon your spirit. But by that method alone, the process of transformation is slow. I am instructing you this day to incorporate hope with all your speaking. As you incorporate hope of the image with the speaking of my word, the image of him whom I have provided is woven upon the tapestry of your spirit much more rapidly. You cannot possess a land that you cannot see. Neither can you possess a land that you see afar off if you deem it not part of your inheritance. Understand this day and never forget, says the Lord, that His life is your inheritance. And I desire that you possess that life to the full. Behold the land of His life that I have spread before you, says the Lord. Behold it with possessive hope that understands His life is your inheritance. Possess the land by faith as you go forth seeing and beholding His life, saying, as He is, so am I in this world. And incorporate hope with all your saying, says the Spirit of grace, and I will weave the image of Him whom the Father has provided upon the tapestry of your heart in such rapid measure it shall astound you. This is the Father's plan. For this purpose I have sent. Few have known His mind. Few have understood His purpose in reseeding the earth with life. The Father's restoring all things according to His original intent and purpose. His intent and purpose is that all who name the name of Christ should walk as He walked, possessing in fullness His life, which is their inheritance. Why would you fill your hope with images provided by man when I have provided for you the image of life itself? He who is life has come in the flesh, that you may behold that life, that you may receive that life into yourself and appropriate it as a land to be possessed, for I have surely given it unto you, says your Father. Have not I said, thou shalt have no graven images before thee? And a graven image is that which has the mark of man upon it. I have provided the image which has the mark of God upon it. Behold the image of life, who is Christ, come in the flesh. Behold Him. Behold the image I have provided, says the Lord, and fill your hope with that image. Fill your mouth with my word that says His life is yours, and you shall surely possess the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of His life. For I have given you to have life in yourself as I gave to Him to have life in Himself. Possess the life of Christ, for His life is your promised land to be inherited. His life is your land of inheritance to be possessed. My children have become so accustomed to affliction, to mourning, to hopelessness, that on those occasions when they have received the smallest measures of joy and peace from my spirit, they have tended to camp there and set up monument stones by writing books and giving testimonies as though they had received the fullness of my measure of grace to them. How sad, how sad. How my heart grieves over the smallness of the heart of their Father in their sight. I intend for my children to possess continents of joy and oceans of peace. Did not my son say that his joy was to be in you? Did not my son say that his peace was to be your peace? The land of inheritance is vast, enormous, beyond the capacity of the carnal mind to comprehend. But I have set this life to be inherited before you in the image of my Son, that you may behold His glory and with possessive hope and words of faith possess the land as my spirit drives out every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You shall possess this land, says the Lord, in a more rapid manner as you learn to incorporate hope with all your speaking. I give you counsel and instruction this day, says the Spirit of grace. Slow down during your times of possession as you confess the word. Incorporate hope with all your speaking. I myself, by the power resident within myself, will move to restore the will of the Father in every realm of your life. The life in the image of Him whom God has sent is yours for the possessing. It's the gift of grace. His life is the gift of grace unto you, says the Father. Receive the abundance of this grace and the gift of righteousness, and you shall reign in life by Him. The very life of my Son is my gift of grace unto you. His life is yours. His anointing is yours. His joy is yours. His peace is yours. It is a vast land of promise to be enjoyed by those who will take up the sword of the Spirit and go forth in the name of Jesus to possess all that life which is your inheritance. Did not I say to Abram, lift up thine eyes, that he might see all the land that was spread before him? Did not I say, all that you can see, I shall give unto thee and thy seed? I did not say, behold this land, which thou shalt not receive as an inheritance. No, I said, this land is your inheritance. So I say to you this day, and so I say to all my children, I have spread before you the life of my Son Jesus Christ as a land to be possessed by inheritance. And I have given this life unto you. It's not a life to be worshipped from afar without hope that it may be possessed. No, I have sent the image of life on purpose that you may behold that image and understand that this life is your land to be inherited. All that you can see, I will give unto you as your faith possesses it. And you cannot possess that which you can't see, says the Lord. See, behold him. Behold the glory of that life. See it as in a mirror. Possess that life as your own. And by my Spirit, I will give it unto you in fullness, says the Lord your God. Remember the word I spoke to you, saying, 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession, where there is no hope. I'm going to say that again. 4 hours spent developing godly hope is more productive than 4 years of mindless confession, where there is no hope. And that ratio is correct. Those numbers are accurate. I gave them not by chance unto you, says the Spirit of grace. That is the measure by which the rate of transformation shall be increased as you learn to incorporate hope with all your speaking. I am able to do a quick work in those whose hope stands as an image in full measure for faith to give substance to. Learn to incorporate hope, godly hope, with all your speaking, and forget not the course that he has set for you. My son, incorporate hope with your speaking regarding the gifts of the Spirit. You shall arrive at that clearing more rapidly than you ever thought. Let hope and faith join together that I may manifest the life of Christ in you from glory to glory. You shall be changed into that same image. So incorporate hope with all your saying, says the Spirit of grace. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. That was a lot, but I tell you what, I believe it, and I thank you, Father, that I'm looking like Jesus more every day. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Not only are we looking like Jesus, we're acting like Jesus, and we're doing everything Jesus did. Praise be to God. That is a on-fire discussion right there. You know what hope means, don't you? Great expectation. In great expectation is what you're supposed to be doing with the Word of God by looking at Jesus. You're supposed to be looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, and confessing that you're like Jesus in every way. Glory be to God. Now I'm going to get back down off this soapbox. But boy, I tell you what, I got fired up when I was reading that this afternoon. My computer. I'll send it to you. It's called None Diminished. It's a teaching prophetic word. I don't know if I don't know where it is on the web. I'll just have to send it to you. Yeah, Julie.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a while since I've read that or listened to it. It is on the website. I know David did it in a teaching maybe last year. He added that in there. Use that. But yeah, it's a powerful word.
Yes, it is.
It's true.
Would you get that link and post it if you could, please? Okay,
I'd be
well, I
happy
mean,
to. Yeah, I'll find it.
okay. Anyway, it's a powerful word. It's a true word. And what God is telling us, get out of the apostate religion and get into the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard by which we live our Christian life. Churches are not the standard. The Word of God is the standard. And when we understand that, then our lives will change drastically. And I believe that with all my heart, too. Yeah, Pat.
I think I was going to say something about, but I think Debbie had her hand up. She took it down. Are you want to say something, Debbie, before?
No, I was actually was going to, but then I was clicking it off, but I was had sitting there waiting. Then I clicked it to take it off and I actually put it back up there, put it on. So I'm not going to share anything now. It was an
Oh,
accident, in other words.
man. All right. Okay.
So one thing when you were saying speak the verse was coming to my mind of the thing you're talking about, obviously, like in a nutshell, was get your eyes on Jesus and realize that what you're looking at is yours. And he there's a scripture that Luke 6:38, and it's Jesus talking about I don't know if is this in the Beatitudes? I don't know what it is, where it's at. Anyways, he's speaking about a principle here, and it's give, and it shall be given unto you. And I know many times that when we think about that, probably one of the first things we think about is, give our money, and there's a whole philosophy of sowing and reaping, and a vein of Christianity that basically is, if you want something, you have to, give, and you're going to get back multiplied. Obviously, there's an aspect of truth there, but the devil has perverted the use of it in many ways. But anyway, this principle that he's speaking about, give and it will be given unto you. And I got to thinking, this way back when I got to, I guess, pondering with the Lord, Lord, why did you do all of this? Why did you go through the hassle, the shenanigans, the put up with why did you create man? If you knew all of this, stuff, was going to happen. Why, and there's the whole plan. What, and you came, you and you gave your life, you shed your blood at the whipping post, you shed your blood on the cross, you died, you resurrected. Why did you go through all of this process to, for mankind, to create mankind, if you knew that this thing was going south, so to speak? And it boiled down, without getting into a long involved thing that the Lord showed me, it boiled down to the fact that God, before man, God had everything that he could ever want, desire. If he wanted it, he created it. He spoke it into existence. There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that he couldn't acquire, do, provide for himself to provide happiness, to provide, his happiness. But one thing he didn't have is a person or people that had their own mind, their own will, their own right to accept or reject him. There's he didn't have a people that I'm going to say were set free, but were free indeed in their ability to converse with God back and forth, give and take, or shall we say, even the right to argue a point. He didn't have that. He created angels, and God bless us for, for the angels that he provided, but they are, and I don't know a lot about them, but the way I understand it is they were created, and the concept of obedience, is there, and they're not going to go against that. So, I mean, I'm very vague on my understanding of the angelic realm. But there was something about mankind, and I will say a free moral agency that is set free and completely free to be an individual with God. And so that's what God wanted, and that's what why God created man, is to have a people who would willingly choose to be with him, not forced or not created to be there, but who willingly had, who had a choice to reject or accept, and chose to follow God, to go with him, no matter what the cost. And I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but and the only way he could do that is through the life of Jesus, the one who perfected, was completed in holiness, and one who was the complete and perfect package, the vision for us. And he not only provided Jesus for us, but he also paid the price for us to be able to come to him in repentance and life, and to even have the ability to choose that. And he gave us Jesus as the pattern or the vision to set our hope on. And as Michael, read in this reading that we just had, he is the vision of what God gave us in order that we could have his life and be just like him. Perfected, that same perfected life is ours. And why is that? Why did God gave Jesus in that way? God gave Jesus because give and it shall be given unto you. What's going to be given to into him? A people that look like Jesus. He gave Jesus that he might receive it back in a people like Jesus. So I don't know. I'm gonna stop there, but it's miraculous. I think part of the thing of hope is don't allow religion to tell us that it's not possible, because in Hebrews 10:14, he said, the word says, for one by one offering he hath perfected forever. He hath, I'm assuming that hath means past tense, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For, that hope that he has put in us is the hope that we can be just like Jesus, and it is obtainable because he gave Jesus for that exact purpose, that he might receive a body back, a body of people that look like Jesus. So anyway, that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Okay, one thing. There's one verse that sums up exactly what I just got through talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. I said 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face. That means we don't have anything in front of us. Beholding as in a mirror, we're looking in the mirror, the glory of the Lord are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Even as from the Lord the Spirit, everything that I said in that piece there is encapsulated into that verse right there, basically. And she put the page down there in the chat there if anybody wanted to get it. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead. I saw you. I just wanted to get that in there.
Yeah, I just wanted to share. First, what I did want to say earlier was that Denny was in that transcendental. He got saved out of that too, that
Oh,
transcendental
really?
interpretation. Yeah, but he made it this when you read that. He'd said a couple times, quoted from this verse, because as he is, even so are we in this world. He said that a couple times. So I wanted to
Said
look up.
what? Said what?
Even as he is, even so are we in this world. And you quoted that a couple of times. And so one look at the verse, it says, kind of fits with the verse you just shared about being like him, looking in the mirror. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. And that just, it gave me a prayer that I wrote down. I said, Lord, may we have boldness to stand and say, even now, as he is, even so am I in this world. No carnal worldly love, no fleshly living and interest. So thank you, Lord. Just be that, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. So it's real heartening to understand that we can walk this. Look, there have been prophecies after prophecies after prophecies of a bunch of Jesus walking this earth in these end times, as we know. And this is how you do it right here. The Lord just showed us how to do it. He just told us how to do it. You go into the New Testament and you look and see how Jesus walked and what he did, and you start emulating him, speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God. When you speak that word of God, it'll come to light. He said, I'll do it. He said, it's nothing you can do other than the only thing that you're to do is to see how Jesus walked. And you go in there and you start studying what the word about how Jesus walked. And start saying, that's what I'm in. This is what I do. This is who I am. I am Jesus walking in the flesh again. He said, it's not by anything that you do other than you read and study what Jesus did, so you can do exactly the same thing. That's the only thing we have to do. And he said, he would take you from glory to glory to glory to glory. Glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but I can get fired up thinking that I'm in Jesus, you know, that it ain't no big deal. It ain't nothing other than just learning about Jesus. And we already know a lot, but we want to go in there. We want to study exactly what he did. Did he go in there and just heal one or two people? No. He said he healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. And that's some of the things that we're going to do if you believe. If you have that great expectation of who you are in Christ, as Paul told us, you're a new creation in Christ. And when you're a new creation in Christ, Michael's gone. Jesus is here. Pat's gone. Jesus is here. Julie, Missy, Debbie, everybody here is gone. It's just Jesus. And you walking, talking Jesus's throughout this earth, helping folks every day, mightily, preaching the word, giving them the simple gospel that you can do the same thing as Jesus did. Just give your life to the Lord. Repent and believe. That's what he said, wasn't it? Repent and believe. That's the simple gospel. Repent and believe. Well, you got to believe. Well, what this word says. So you got to get in the word and understand who, how to believe. Don't listen to man. That's what's happened to the people want a McDonald's Christianity gospel where you just go up there and get you a little bit and go on. Get you what you want, go on. Instead of studying the word for ourselves. Yeah, it says Andrew, but that looks like Benjamin. right. But anyway, that's how we do it. Yeah, go ahead. Oh. What is he doing? Is he putting it on
Hello?
Andrew? Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I wanted to do this really quickly, but there's Ephesians 4:4 to 4:6, and we want to see this, and we want to have this vision of the one body,
one spirit. You talked about hope a lot. One hope of the hope of your calling. One Lord. And one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. I said these verses a lot, but if it's this one we are, and this is what we have faith in, then someone else has to fulfill this in us by grace. So there's the oneness of these seven ones that should put us to rest. And I always thought it that way, you know, of this verse. And you know, there's not supposed to be a whole bunch of denominations or faiths. There's one faith, and we need it in Christ Jesus. And God the Father comes along to live in you too, because it's, if any love me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. So we're going to have a house that's the Father and Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's there too, because we have to be immersed in that too. And we have to be immersed in Jesus and immersed in his word. He is the word, the name called the word of God, and we have to be immersed in the Father, because that was our baptism. And I remember reminding a guy about his baptism when I was at a bus stop once, and I think he was a Pentecostal also, and he invited me to his church, and I didn't end up going, but he was from Congo, South Africa, and I just wanted to reiterate that out of all those seven ones, what are we missing? And you know, he says he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. He's going to teach us all things and remind us of everything he taught us. So, you know, these words and these verses that pop into your head can never do any wrong, because for no word of God shall be void of power. So if the word pops into your head, and you know, some people say, oh, I've got a bright idea. And it has to be a bright idea if it's God's word. But it's also his very life, because in him was life, and this life is the light of men. And we walk in that light, and I just want to thank God for such a wonderful family, such a wonderful oneness that we have, because of what Jesus already did for us at the cross and resurrection. And it's just so much, you know, it's hard to envelop sometimes, but if God is true, and in him is no darkness at all, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and we walk in that light, there's another one, you know. And it's just so wonderful what God has done for us. And you know, there's just so much damage in the world today, so much damage in the Christianity. What, 40,000 different denominations? And I just hope, because the only one who can do this hope for us, the short expectation to fulfill it in us, by his grace, is God. We just have to let him do it. Now, come and see a man who told me all I ever did, you know. The woman by the well. Come and see. There's the seeing word that sees, you know, and praise God. Well, I'm gonna unplug now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. There's only going to be one church in this end time tribulation. And we will go through the tribulation. Thank you, Lord. I know some of us have already been through the tribulation, still going through it. Praise God. But it's fun now. But we're starting to see the Lord work. Not starting. We've seen it all along. All right, you know what else? Anybody want to know how to start? What step one is? No? Okay.
What is it?
Open the Bible. Open the Bible to Matthew chapter 1. I'll tell you what, when you get this in your mind, when you get this in your mind, and every time that you open that Bible up, you see, this is Jesus talking to me. This is Jesus telling me how to be like him. It'll make it a little more, a lot more exciting. Had a lot of fire in you, y'all. Glory to God. All right, anyone else? Y'all look like you're bored to death. Yeah, Debbie.
I just have a question. That's got anything with what you're saying, but is it just my computer every now and then, and quite often actually, will when you're talking, you'll stop for several seconds, like even up to 6 seconds. Pat did, you do Michael a lot and different ones, and then you talk real, real fast. It's not my computer. Is it happening to you guys? On you seen that too? Okay, excited. And it was mine only or what?
It ain't. What are you? It's probably my internet.
Okay, so I'm not getting anything that says your internet is stable because I have had that. I've not seen that
I'm
say that.
sorry about that.
It's okay. I just wondered if it was mine or not.
What does that mean?
That's pointing at you. It's him. It's him. It's not you, Debbie.
You
It's
point.
him. You're
See? Oh, it's him.
here.
That's who it is. It's Pat. Pat did
Michael.
it. Oh gosh. Go ahead,
It's
Pat.
God, because you can receive there. There's I'll have let go. You can receive nothing except it come from God. There you go.
Absolutely.
So I would the Lord has had me obviously in the well. Obviously, he's had me in the construction industry for the last, 30 or 40 years. And I've learned interesting thing about architects and designers is that there are two types. There are vision. What I call vision or perspective architects or designers, excuse me, and there are engineering architects. And the difference between those two is that in a perspective or concept architect is one that more easily has the bigger picture, so to speak, where, what this structure is going to look like. And many times, let's say you ask him a question related to a particular detail, and he won't be a, he doesn't have the ability to answer it in such a way that you can build off of it. His mind works in, I keep saying his, but their mind works in a perspective, or in other words, if you were to say, we want to build a patio with 4 or 5 steps down to this lower level here and have grass. Can what can you show me how to build that? Give me a design for that, and he will draw you a landscape looking picture with a flowing staircase coming down to the lower level, and shade in various different shades of whatever. A little plant here and a little stick man over here, and give you a whole picture of what that looks like. However, if you took that picture and you took it over to a mason or a concrete contractor or a any kind of a contractor that would actually build that detail, he wouldn't be able to build it. The first thing he would do is he'd start asking you questions like, how high is that level up above, and how many steps do you have down here? And what is the rise? And what's the material made out of? What's the length of the tread? I need dimensions. What's the, and all of these questions would come back because you can't build anything that you don't have specific detail to. And so that concept architect will he'll give you he might answer your questions two or three times, but he's going to answer it with a picture, a perspective. And many times, if they're smart enough or their a company is big enough, that perspective architect will have two or three engineering architects that work under him, that he can take that picture to and say, make this work. And they'll come out with dimensions, sizes, specific material that's used, etc. And the reason I bring it up is because the vision that we are talking about, God is not only a visionary, he not only sees the bigger picture, and in many ways, he's given us the life of Jesus, which is the image of the big picture. And then he's given us the Holy Spirit, who is able to translate that vision into details, into our understanding, and allow us how to step by step walk through and obtain and create that bigger picture. So, unfortunately, I think in a lot of the religious system, there are a lot of people that speak to the bigger picture, shall we say, but they don't have the details. They don't know what the details are that we need to walk in obedience and step, and the steps that actually take to build that picture, that vision, and of Jesus in us. And so, I don't know, I just thought I'd toss that out. It's just an observation that I've had over the years, and it seems to come be very, it's helped me in my career, so to speak, because it's very easy to pick these architects out, and once you identify a concept architect, then you don't waste your time trying to get details from him. It's said in the industry, just make it look like the picture, and that's what you basically what you have to figure out how to get your contractors to do. Make it look like the picture. So anyway, that's all.
All right, Julie, go ahead. She's gonna share a song.
Was thinking of this song when Michael was talking about, what's the first step is open up the word.
Thank you.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour
a good one. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got anything shortly? We got a minute left, looks like. Lord, we just thank you that you're going to place it in our hearts to run after you with all our hearts. And Lord, we just surrender it all to you. We drop down on our knees now, Lord, and repent of all the things that we've done to be distracted from running after you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you will do a quick work in all of us in the days ahead. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, that this bunch here is going to look like a bunch of Jesuses out there. And we praise you for it. Not only that, it'll be a part of the spearhead of the revival. And the revival will start wherever they start. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that in each and every one of us that want it, that would receive it, in Jesus' name. Y'all be shining like Jesus, shining like a new dime out there, shining like a big light that Jesus is. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. All right. Good night, y'all. Go ahead, Debbie.
I just tell amen for his glory.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory. Amen. Missy, what are you smiling about? Ooh, y'all almost hit the wrong button.